My name is Charles Benoit. I've been a longtime friend of Tom and Bev Westheimer. We lived in the same small town in New England once upon a time. Tom had preceded me to Thailand, and I followed him, and now he's back. And this is my wife, Jim.
Khun Jim.
Jim.
Khun Jim.
You've been here before.
This would be my third visit.
Anything gleaned from previous visits? Any questions arising?
I guess I was. I have read some about the life of Buddha and the teachings of Buddha. Nothing very sophisticated. And so what I was trying to do was to link up what I thought I had learned. I picked out the things that had the most appeal for me with the discussion. And there was a big gap, which I equated with not understanding all of the words that I may understand the concept, but I don't know that label for it. So I'm not sure that I learned a lot. I was very impressed by the teaching and by some of the questions. I have not been a regular. Tom invites me, and I come.
We talk a lot about the present moment.
Actually, I would like to ask a question that's very similar to this. And
it's from the book.
It's Abhidhamma Mind Daily Life. Yes, it's in a book. And it's a citta and cetasika. So citta experiences, it's a leader of knowing the object. And there are mental factors, cetasikas, that helps the mind. And first of all, the first cetasika it's talk about is perception. And I would like to quote. Perception in Pali Sanya is a cetasika which arises with every citta. In the Visuddhimagga we read about Sanya that it has the characteristic of perceiving. Its function is to make a sign as a condition for perceiving again that this is the same as a carpenters do in the case of timber. Citta only experiences an object. It does not mark its object. It is sanya, perception, which marks the object which is experienced so that it can be recognized later on. Whenever we remember things, it is sanya and not self which remembers. It is sanya which, for example, remembers that this color is red, that this is a house, or that this is the sound of a bird. So this is about the sanya.
It's now, this moment, like Ajahn Mills emphasize all the time, at sanya is this moment, because we think we see a person or a thing, and then we realize it is because of sanya that we recognize things or know that it is this house or that person. But in fact, what is seen is only a visible object through eyes. And what is seen is a Dhamma. We call a Dhamma is a reality that appears now. In this sense, we can use the word Dhamma. Everything that is real. Like visible object is real. But the table is not real in the ultimate sense. Or a person is not real. In fact, there is no person. But maybe it's hard to swallow when you just come for a few times.
And what was your question?
Yeah, because we think we remember or we perceive, but actually it is a sanya that arises in with every citta. So I mean, that sanya only remembers one at a time, at the object, its object, whatever it is.
Each moment when citta arises, but maybe we have to explain what we mean by citta.
Please don't make a special explanation for me. In fact, I don't know. I probably know the Chinese word, but I don't know the Thai word that you...
A mental...
But it's okay.
A mental reality which knows an object. We can call citta or consciousness in English. But the English translation is misleading because it seems that it stays and that is all the time there. But that is not so, because each citta falls away immediately, like seeing now falls away immediately. And then there is another moment of thinking, of hearing, many different cittas, one at a time. But each citta is accompanied by different cittas, several cetasikas, like remembrance. Or what he says, I was reading, it marks an object, and that you, the fact that you recognize a person or a thing is due to sanya or remembrance. It has conditions. Otherwise you wouldn't recognize anything. Or you could not even talk or use a language.
I think that we are now in the sea of concepts and word. And I think that we use many words in a day in one's life, but do we really understand what that word represents? So I think that just one word, and if we can understand the reality which that word represents, is better to know what we are talking about. For me, I think that just one word at a time is enough to really understand. What does one word mean or represent? Is there any word that you'd like to know? Just one word? Any word?
Too many, I suspect.
Oh, okay. One first, and then later the other.
Well, I heard Tanya, I heard Sanya.
Sanya, yeah.
Again, to me, I'm very comfortable with a large amount of vocabulary.
Yeah.
That leads to knowledge, that helps you understand. The understanding is still, can be far away, correct understanding, but at least if one has the vocabulary, one can make better progress.
Yes, but if one does not understand just one word, we cannot understand the other word too.
Correct.
So
but
just one word.
Is limiting.
Okay.
But it's a start.
Yeah. One word?
In my mind.
Which one?
Oh.
No, just one word. Yeah.
There are so many.
One, please. Any word.
You heard cheetah.
I did hear cheetah, and I want to say cheetah, but I'm wondering...
See?
That
just
would be a fine
any
word.
I'm just
okay
any
with
word.
Cheetah,
okay
he likes.
Cheetah. Is it cheetah or cheetah?
Cheetah we pronounce. The C is the first letter.
Cheetahs.
C can be a J sound. Anyway, it doesn't matter how it's pronounced. Really. It's what it means.
Like a J sound.
Like a J, okay. We're fooled by the C.
Is citta Thai word, or is Pali, or what language is it? Citta.
I don't know precisely. I'm sure that, I'm not sure. I'm making a quick guess that it would be a Bali word.
Yes, Bali or Makati. Yeah. And it represents a reality now, which can experience whatever appears now. For example, visible object, hardness, if there is no experiencing of its characteristic, it cannot appear. For example, sound is real, is a reality. It just can be heard. But without hearing, no one knows that sound exists. And it appears only to hearing. No matter we think a lot about sound, it cannot be heard at all. So even just one word like the experiencing or citta or the object which is experienced just one at a time can condition the meaning of it like that which now experiences seeing, is it? That one which sees, experiences the object which is seen, and hearing is another experience. It hears. So even the word experiencing or citta or sanya or any word could be understood little by little until it comes to more and more understanding of it now, because they're seeing now. And if we don't use any word at all, it's the seeing. If we don't call it, if we don't use the word seeing, can they be seeing right now? Can they be seeing right now? Yes or no? If you don't use the word seeing.
You don't need the word.
Mm-hmm. I assume the answer is no.
If we don't call it seeing.
If we don't call it seeing.
It's the seeing. There is seeing. You don't have to call it anything.
It is.
It is. So we learn to understand what's meant by the reality which experiences an object. And we call it seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. In other words, it's a characteristic in Pali, citta, in that language. But even we don't know the Pali word at all, but they're seeing, depending on what you call it, to represent that particular reality. So this is just one word, citta, the experiencing. Can the world appear without citta? Can the world appear without citta? Without that which experiences it.
I mean, I think that a word can exist without an experience, but if you want to understand
the world,
can appear.
Without,
I think that a world can.
The whole wide world
can appear without experience. It is there.
Appear
regardless, not
who knows. Yes, when it does not appear.
I'm relieved.
So, Ajahn was explaining just now about citta and about seeing and hearing, and we hear this every day, and it is new to us every day, and we need to listen and like to listen and need the reminders. Because it is not just a matter of thinking and theory, but we have to learn to experience it with awareness, little by little. That's why when you ask a question, it's very useful for all of us.
In your book, I think, in Surya Paramatta Dhamma, when you talk about the concepts and then you explained that I think that there are a few kinds of words that refers to this and refers to that. You said something, as I remember, that there are some words refers to concept itself, they point up concept, but some words, a particular group, refers to, they point out to realities. Can you say the difference about that?
Can we say that what is not a reality, it is concept?
But there are some kind of words that, the group of words, isn't it? That some refers to concept and some refers to realities, isn't it?
Yes, but we have to understand the difference between concept and reality. There are realities, different realities. And that which is not reality is concept.
When it's a concept, when it's something thought about, we can think about anything. So it can be thinking about a reality such as seeing or hearing, or it can be thinking about an angel or a phantom or a holiday, so it can be thinking about the reality or thinking about a concept. Thinking about a concept of a reality or thinking about a concept of a concept.
In order to understand reality and concept, at this moment of seeing what is seen in order to understand reality and concept. At this moment of seeing what is seen. What is seen? A reality, a concept, or what? Which can be seen? Can anyone see concept? So what is seen? Do we have to call it anything? Or even we don't call it, it's that which can be seen. It cannot be heard, but it can be seen right now. But it needs word to represent that reality for anyone to understand what we mean. Another word, see, citta, reality, concept, word by word. Is thinking real? Thinking. Reality or concept?
Reality.
Reality.
Ajahn, can there be thinking of a concept while there is an awareness of satipatthana associated, accompanied by the thinking? I mean, the moment of satipatthana, is there thinking of a concept?
Without thinking, can there be concepts?
No.
What arises and what falls away?
Realities.
Thinking. So thinking is object of satipatthana. To know that it's only that which does not see, but just things.
But itself, the concept cannot be object of satipatthana, isn't it?
Does it arise?
No, it's just nimitta or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe thought about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with the word panyati in Pali, since you know Pali. Since you know Pali.
Oh, I don't claim to know Pali, but.
Panyati in Pali.
Panyati.
Or in Thai, Banyat. You know Thai.
Banyat. Pablum or.
Oh, you're thinking Banha.
Not the same word. It's not a language that I have ever have a conversation in, so some things stick and some things don't. The database knows. Never forgets.
Can sound experience anything? Can sound experience anything?
Can sound experience? I shouldn't think so, but I'm prepared to be.
That's right.
For the sake of discussion.
So we can see that there are two different kinds of realities. One cannot experience anything at all, and the other one can experience. Whenever it arises, it has to experience. What you take for I or thing or anything must be one of the two. That which cannot experience and that which can experience. Another word again, word by word. What conditioned thinking?
Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling.
And thinking yourself.
Sanyana. Yeah. Memory.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the five sense consciousness as well, in that there's
just arise and falls away,
yeah.
And Sanya marks and remembers.
Okay,
so I can't think about that.
With no Sanya marking, remembering, nothing to think about. Right.
Yes, sometimes there is around the classification of four namakandas that condition each other. So the sanya is one of them, so it seems to be very important in conditioning. For example, the way of sahajata pachaya, they condition each other.
And also vedana.
Vedana and sankara and vijnana. Four.
I have a question on sanya. So sanya can remember concepts such as house and people and things, and sanya can also mark the characteristics of the objects which appear, for example, the visible object at the moment of experiencing.
Sanya arises with each citta.
Yeah. But these are two different ways of remembering, right?
No matter citta experience what, sanya marks it. Sanya also is Thai word too, comes from Pali word, but they have different meaning. Mm. The Thai things like promise.
Contract.
Oh, yeah.
Is a contract?
Something that remind you not to forget.
Okay.
A deal.
I heard that on my telephone this morning, a message from the office. Sure.
Did it say about sanya?
Maimi sanya.
Oh, that is different. That is sanyana.
Okay,
with
maimi
N.
Sanya.
Maimi sanya.
Okay, maimi sanya.
Okay.
And Lucas, if satipatthana, the object of satipatthana could be concepts, then it would be the same as pariyatti, right? So pariyatti cannot be satipatthana.
Yeah, but... because it's, the four satipatthanas, this chattari satipatthana, it's actually it's a good reminder because it's just four. It's kaya, and vedana, and citta, and dhamma. And there is no concept in satipatthana, isn't it, Ajahn? Concept cannot be understood by satipatthana.
Because it's the direct understanding of realities.
Yeah, I have also a question here, because this kaya, I was also wondering why the Buddha never told rupa, vedana, citta and dhamma. He used a word kaya, a body.
There are namakaya and rupakaya. The rupakaya cannot be citta cetasika, but citta and cetasika together are namakaya. So when we heard the word namakaya, not rupa at all, only citta cetasika.
In the meaning of satipatthana ajahn, the section on kaya upasana, does it refer to all kinds of 28 rupas? The kaya upasana.
Where?
In satipatthana.
Body. Only.
Only body.
Yes.
So
whatever appears at the body, because we take body, rupa, as me or mine.
Mm-hmm. So, does to all 28 rupas are body?
Whatever appears that can be known.
Okay.
Anything that you take from my body.
But this refers mostly to or only to rupas, isn't it? To materiality, not mentality, isn't it?
When we talk about rupa kaya, not nama kaya, but kaya can be either nama or rupa.
Mm. And in the context of satipatthana, it's only rupa kaya.
Kaya anupasana satipatthana.
Kaya anupasana satipatthana.
So it's rupas taken for the body, but other rupas are included in dhamma anupasana.
All rupas.
Like five khandhas, for example. But all the first, rupas. But in the first section, just the rupas in particular, it's because it's one's body that one finds so important.
And if we don't call it kaya anupasana satipatthana, can it be known?
Yes.
actually in that kind of, in this kind of Satipatthana, the Buddha talks a lot about concepts of walking and everything, and that's, I was always doubt why he doesn't point out just strictly the rupa.
Because usually one takes the body for oneself, one body, my body, one's own body.
Because Ajahn Mee, we know about the rupas that are asabhava without characteristic.
Asabhava
rupas, like vachi vinyati and kaya vinyati, and this lahuta, this asabhava rupa. And the Buddha speaks in the kaya nupasana about monks knows when he walks and everything. Can also this asabhava rupas, for example, while walking, be known? Does Buddha also refers to the subtle rupas?
If it cannot be known, it's useless to talk about. But you see that since it's the, what you call it, the lahuta rupa and so on of the mahabhuta rupa, so the mahabhuta rupa must be known before that. And then one can see the difference between mahabhuta rupa, which doesn't have such quality with it, and that which has such three quality, vikara rupa, with it, that they are different.
So the monk knows that when he's walking, he doesn't think about concept.
Whose monk?
A monk, it's the one who develops Satipatthana.
Can anyone be monk?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was actually said in Visuddhimagga that the bhikkhu is the one who sees the danger of the samsara.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyone who
right.
sees,
mm-hmm.
but usually people who sees danger in samsara, they really just take the robes on themselves.
Just talk so. About the chief of the company of Buddhists. And now another word, body.
Recognize that one.
And kaya nupasana.
No, no. Where can you find body? Oh, when body appears.
I don't want to say I don't know.
I think that everyone thinks that she or he has body, right?
Sure.
But what is the meaning of it or the understanding of it? Can the hardness on or at the head be body, legs? They are only different rupas. Some moment heart disappears and some moment heat appears. But without understanding, whatever here is taken as my body. And that's not right understanding, because hardness does not belong to anyone at all. It just arises by conditions, and it falls away instantly, all the time. That's why we don't feel any reality right now. Only when it appears, then Panya can see that the whole body that people think that they have are only just that, when they appear as hardness or softness. Because each moment, realities arise and fall away, unknowingly. That's why we ask whether one has teeth, stomach, blood, or just think about it. But actually, it doesn't appear at all. What appears as blood?
Blood. It's must be visible object.
At moment of?
Of seeing.
And at
blood.
Moment of touching.
And water.
Water means?
Then this apodatu.
Apodatu cannot be object of
touching.
Kaya.
Oh, mind.
Consciousness.
Later.
Is apodatu fluidity?
Yes,
or
yes.
Yeah. Cohesion.
Okay. It doesn't have a
I'm not blood in
the sense. When touching only.
Yeah.
Hardness, softness, heat, cold, all
But Ajahn, I've got actually, whenever I just cut myself or something and I see a blood, I am long stories, and then I became green and lost consciousness. Really. And I'm always...
I or what?
Of concepts?
The
two
can't
study. I become green,
Yeah, but I mean usually when I
what?
Cut myself.
Chitta goes into Bhavanga.
No, I mean when I see a blood, yes, then I lost consciousness. I feel very weak and lost consciousness.
So what is there at that moment?
Some kind of thinking.
When you've lost consciousness?
No thinking.
Of the Bhavanga.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So no longer mind or by condition, just Bhavanga.
We are talking about each moment in life.
The other day, Bev, if you don't mind me putting you in the hot seat for a moment, after the discussion, I think it was yesterday morning, and there was a lot of talk about how no practice, no meditation, no one to do anything. And then just at the end of the conversation, you were having a quiet chat with Ajahn, and your question, I think, was what about the references to charnel grounds and so on in the Satipatthana Sutta? And can you mention what you asked in the response?
I think I remember that Ajahn said there was the Buddha never mentioned meditation, and so I was surprised, because you know I have heard reference to meditation about different objects. I don't know how many objects of meditation there are. I just don't know, but people always talk about meditating in charnel grounds, and so I wondered where that came from. That was my question, because Ajahn said the Buddha never talked about meditating.
No meditation center in Tipitaka.
Ah. No meditation
center.
But he did talk about meditating in terms
developing,
of thinking.
Developing understanding.
That was the meaning of meditation.
So it depends on who understands, whether that person understands the development or think of it as just meditate without understanding.
So I think we're clarifying what meditating means in terms of thinking and reflecting, listening, thinking, and reflecting.
Or wrong understanding.
Hopefully with thinking and reflecting with right understanding.
But when it's right understanding, it develops.
It develops.
Yeah.
May we just go back for a moment to what you've said a number of times, and that is to understand one word at a time.
Yes.
I'm not doing it today, but over the last few days I've had a Pali dictionary with me, and if a word comes up I will often just refer to the dictionary. So it's a little bit, Charles, like the database of just getting... just getting the meaning from the book.
So we don't need learning.
So, well...
just looking up from in dictionary.
Yes, it's just getting the book meaning. But what has occurred to me is that even at that level, just to have the meaning of the word without the relationship, like when we talk about citta, it seems that there is a need to know how citta relates to...
Oh, what is citta?
What is citta, but also what does citta... what is the function of citta?
But if we don't know citta, how can we know its function? So first of all, I think the first question should be, what is it? And then we can go on about it to understand better.
What is the next question then?
Yeah, what is it? Citta?
What is citta?
And then what reality.
And then what is the question with regard to citta after
can
that?
One know about it now? Is there citta now? The next question is there citta now?
So
and we can go on and on.
You're suggesting that to know citta, there's the what does it mean?
Mm-hmm. And
the
then
knowledge of the citta mm-hmm. is the only way to
understand better.
Understand its relationship with other realities, etc.
Or citta itself. Before there can be other understanding of other reality. Like what conditions it. What arises with it? What does it experience?
Yes, so already that is extending out from mm-hmm. citta.
Yeah.
It's I think that's what I'm saying about just the meaning of citta in itself. Like if I look it up, not enough. It's not enough. That it needs to be in the context of how citta is experienced, what citta does.
And I'm not sure about the dictionary because I don't know whether they take just one aspect of reality. It does not cover all the meanings or reality of it.
That's right. It's certainly not enough in terms of the way we speak about citta.
But Acharya, that one word applies, I mean, it's not only about Pali, but it applies to the words we use in our daily lives, even in English, the different concepts we use. We talk about so many things without understanding. So it can be anything in daily life, all our experiences. And it could be in English, it could be anything. So
yes.
We talk about things without understanding, I think that's the point. And we need to understand what it is that we're talking about, try to understand it in experience.
I think I was struck, Charles, by you saying the database knows and it's like the dictionary knows, but it's like it doesn't know at the level that we are trying to discuss about here.
I agree.
I just would like to say something to you, say, because you are right. We talk about many things, about even Dhamma now without the understanding, but then another question comes, so why do we talk about them?
Because they are now.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't talk about that which is not here and now.
So, and now I have another question is, what we should understand when Buddha talked about
plains.
It's animal, health, people, human being, and
Devas.
So it is reality or?
If you are not interested in that, no need to talk about it at all. But let's talk about what is real at this moment. For example,
so
seeing.
So that is the story?
Yes, because seeing. Is seeing a dog or a cat or a human being or Deva? Or seeing is seeing. This is more important.
So why would I talk about that?
Because there are many things, not just one.
So that, but thus, is the Buddha
yes.
teaching? Or?
Mm-hmm, yeah, cause and result. Hell, heaven, human being, conditioned by different conditions. good deeds, bad deeds, they are different.
But there is a story.
Can they
not
bring
reality.
The not story, reality? Seeing is real. Deeds or chetana, will, intention is real. Doing good deeds, doing bad deeds.
Not sorry. Not future.
Yes, now. Now good or bad deeds? Or no deeds now?
So I mean, the health is not... the health is referred to now or to the future?
We don't have to think about the result first. Think about now. Good deeds and bad deeds.
I should think or I should hear, but I just wonder why Buddha talk about that.
Because he knew, about everything. That anyone who can understand the cause and the result can know the difference. Why people born differently? Here and there, different. A dog is different from a cat. Mm-hmm. Why? An ant and an elephant, they're different. Would you like to know the conditions?
Not yet.
I think you are trying to say that since there are only citta and citta seekers and rupas, so animals or people or devas are just concepts. Is what you meant? Then? First?
I just say that it's because it's not now, so it is a story, so...
Why would I say about that?
I don't understand. Why would I say about that?
And he also thought about the cause for being such and such. Not just people are born different, but there are different causes for different results.
I mean, so for you, is human and animal a story?
Yeah, yes, story.
But you know that you can talk about them in terms of reality.
I think it's because the story, because it's not now, so it's a story.
Right, but you don't have any objection to talking about animals and humans in a conventional way. Achan just asked you, pointed out the difference between a cat and dog and elephants, and which you can accept that they're different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And that they're different. And you can also understand that they're different by virtue of different births, different karmas.
Yeah.
Right? And so human being, animals different? Different causes of karmas? I mean, results of karmas? You can understand that.
Yeah.
Right. So when we talk about citta, cetasika, and cause and effect, karma and vipaka, then we don't see that much of a big difference also between human and deva. There's not much of a, you know, between animals and humans and devas, or animals and hell beings, just different chittas and chittas, different causes and effects.
Or like a man and woman.
Yeah. But Buddha is a human being.
He's not human being, he's not deva, he's Sammasambuddho.
No, firstly, become before he was enlightenment, he is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
He is not an elephant, so.
So I'm a bit like you. I'm not really very particularly interested in various planes of existence and knowing all the details, and I forget whatever I'm told because it doesn't seem so relevant to now. But I do think it's helpful to understand why, for example, some people are born blind or handicapped, or why animals are like this because of karma, because of different conditions. Because otherwise one may feel, oh, it's so sad and so unfair or something like that. But when one understands about conditions and karma, everything is very fair, and one can appreciate more the importance of kusala now. So, as you say, it comes back to this moment, this reality now. And for us, we can't experience cheetahs in other planes of existence, but for some, like the Buddha, they could. So for them it's reality, but for us it isn't.
The
details are told just so that we can understand and can clarify these doubts about why this, why that. That's all.
Yes, that's then the point was also here that because Ajahn said before that Panya can have, must have its object, and whatever is now it can be known, and we talk now about some kind of not so near things to know. I agree to know, like, why there is a birth in other planes, and then knowing others, yeah, why they are different. But Ajahn, that's the question, because in that kind of knowledge that comes about the others' beings, how they are different, what is the object of Panya?
To understand the different causes and different results.
But then what's the object? Is it the Paramatta Dhamma or some kind of nimitta?
With our Paramatta Dhamma, can there be anything?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like pachaya, so pachaya, the conditions.
It happened to me again that since people cannot be Buddha, so only Buddha know about the reality, for example, the future reality, we could only know about now. And when he told about that, told about the reality that people cannot know, it is something for me like he... So it's something like he threatened people who have to know, or it's like this. So it's something like I said that he likely to force Ananda to be a monk. He forced people to
understand, or to be afraid.
Yeah.
To understand or to be afraid.
To be afraid, or
no.
So that have to understand.
No, to understand.
To understand.
Because at least the present now that in, I can say that in Vietnam, every people is go to church, go to temple because of that threat.
The fear.
It's fear, yes. So,
but not
because
you.
Buddha know everything, so if he know this result,
he doesn't need to do that. If there's reality to understand, and he always point to reality. Now, the Buddha cannot teach people, cannot use fear to or anyone can learn from fear. Nobody can learn because they're afraid. But the thing is that I was going to say, but do you really understand what a human being is? Maybe he pointed out to devas so that you could better understand what a human being is.
Does a dog want to be born a dog?
I don't know.
Depends on conditions.
Yeah. I don't know the not one what's
cause going. And result, no matter one wants or not.
And as I understand, on some planes of existence, there are fewer opportunities to hear the Dhamma. Is that right? Yes.
It was conditioned.
So it's really bad there because to listen to Dhamma, I must come to Thailand because nowhere I could. So it must be really bad in heaven. No, but I like here the point because Ajahn, before you told that. How can we say this is vipaka or this is karma? Because if we before don't understand the dhammas, that's visible object, then that. And the same you talk about the conditions. How can we know those are conditioned is that without previously knowing this is nama, this is rupa, this is dhamma. So I think it's no worries whether we know this is like this, this is this. I think that kind of knowledge always also come, but with proper time when there is understanding of present realities, because actually Buddha prays only understand eye, visible object, seeing consciousness, all Dhamma. So I think no worries about this because it will come or not.
I don't worry. I don't worry. That's why would I be about that?
Ajahn, I have a little bit of difficulty with this too because I think about the Buddha's words when he said, "Don't believe him, find out for yourself." In other words, to see whether his words are true. So, when we think about or talk about hell planes or devas, and how can that be understood on this plane? To test the Buddha's words.
Can there be seeing only in this world as it's conditioned to arise? It can arise anywhere.
But how does that prove that hell exists or plane of the deva? How does that prove that?
Because they're seeing right now. So is there only seeing here, or there are seeings no matter where, when there are conditions for their arising? Like hearing or anything, they arise when there are appropriate conditions for their arising.
Perhaps I think that there's enough to do on this plane.
There are so many different causes which
yes.
will bring about many different results by conditions. Good karma and bad karma cannot have the same result.
To think that okay, it's just enough to know in what happens in our plane. But when we really understand the conditionality, that everything arises by conditions, so it follows automatically that whenever there are conditions for the arising of something, then it arises. Whatever is here or in another plane that we cannot know about right now, it comes together. If we think that we can discard this and just continue our understanding, I think there's no understanding really because it follows.
And why do we have to think about other planes?
I think that's what CERN is asking. He's asking
why do we have to think about that?
Why do we need to think about that?
You talked about all kinds of dharmas and all kinds of causes and effects for those who can understand it, but now seeing arises now, so only seeing now that can be directly known. So we don't have to be concerned or worried about seeing in the deva realm. But as you ask why the Buddha talked about it, that's why, because he talked about all kinds of causes and results, but only seeing now can be known, that appears now. So it's not important. And I think that was your point.
So it can be accepted that this is an example of conditionality, but...
I think that can be understood about costs and results.
I mean, devas are humans, five kinds of humans.
But the interest may vary from...
To be interested in that, which cannot be experienced now.
Yes.
I think
that's the point, Ajahn.
I think maybe one thing that may prevent us to understand this conditionality in different planes is that we are still attached to the idea of I see and I hear. But if really, really understand that it's just seeing and hearing arise by conditions, then then it's not only now and in this plane. It happens anywhere where there are conditions for it.
Yes.
What reality can be known now?
Rupa, nama.
Just call it nama rupa, but what nama or what rupa?
Seeing, hearing.
One at a time. Now you know that, seeing. Please talk a little bit about it. It arises, yes, seeing.
Nothing to talk about seeing because I have to think about it to talk.
Can seeing not see?
Seeing cannot see.
Can anyone order seeing to see? So, it's conditioned. Without the eye base, without the visible object, there is no seeing. Is it yours?
No.
It's whose?
No one.
Where was it now, that previous one? The previous seeing, where was it now?
Gone already.
Completely, never come back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come back in Sanya.
Sanya marks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So whatever realm one's talking about, seeing is still just the characteristic of seeing. So that's the point. Seeing is still just the characteristic, just has the characteristic of seeing.
Yeah.
No matter where one's talking about, whether it's animal realm or human realm, still just the reality of seeing.
Can you see the eye? Can you see hardness?
Ajahn, I have a question about the concept, actually. So, everything that the Buddha said is like it pinpoint to citta, citta-sika, and rupa and nibbana. So, on the other hand, if me, for example, I still see the concept of just say the development of from the fan to the air conditioning, for example. So that's to me is a different things. So how does the Buddha say about that without saying that, without just come back to the, without having the explanation of that they are just different citta and different citta-sika. If I want to understand the difference between
and a fan and a conditioner.
What he taught is always about something to think about, whether it's true or not. For example, what is seen, see? Food for thought. To really understand what is seen. You think that you see a clock, a table, but actually, in reality, in the absolute sense, what is seen, right or wrong, if one knows that a table cannot be seen, a chair cannot be seen, only that which can be seen now is seen. Only a reality, and you don't have to call it anything at all, but it's seen. So it must be a reality. And where is it? See, if you know better, you know that without the four primary rupas, and that which arises with it, which can be seen, nothing can be seen, because the four primary rupas, hardness and softness, cannot be seen at all. Sound cannot be seen, smell cannot be seen, anger cannot be seen. All dharmas or all realities cannot be seen. Only one, except one, that can be seen. Now it appears it is seen. So one knows that after seeing, there is thinking, not seeing anymore. Because a reality marks or remembers whatever appears, like visible object, shape and form. So that is the idea of something which is seen, but actually, without the succession of the arising and falling away of that which arises and falls away, there is no mark, no sign to be known, to be remembered as something. So in a moment of experiencing an object, there are many realities arising together. Even the visible object itself must have the four primary rupas.
But is that also a denial of the different concepts?
Like what? What is that?
Is that a denial or is that a refuse? Because it sounds like to me like it's like a paradigm. You look at it from this point of view, then everything is explained in that point, in that viewpoint. But if you look from the other point of view, then, so like the conventional world, then we do see the difference between things. And
but if that cannot be seen, can you know that they are different?
No. And I also think about how the world, the conventional world, have trying to explain things like going back basic to the elements, like different chemical elements and how things work, and then create different stuff that we have today. And so that, how is that?
It's that thinking or directly experiencing the true nature of reality without thinking. For example, we don't have to think about visible object, no word. We don't have to think about color. But it is seen now, even it's seen, we don't have to say anything. But one knows that there is a reality, only one, which can be seen. And if there's question, where is it? Buddha told that without the four primary rudas, and that which arises with it, which can impinge on the eye base, which can condition seeing, the experiencing of that reality, that reality cannot be seen, cannot appear, no one knows about it. Only when seeing arises, that can be known, that there is a reality which can be seen. And from seeing it, there's many ideas about different shape and forms, conditioned by the succession of the arising and falling away of the four prime rupas, and rupas are the rupa which arises with it. To indicate that in reality there is no self, no one at all, only absolute realities, conditioned by many conditions too. So can the ibis be you or yours? It has conditions for its arising, and it falls away. That which arises and falls away, can it be anyone or belong to it? Who? No, not at all. Only learn to understand life, what appears in life, from birth to death. Many moments without understanding. What happened yesterday? Where were they? And tomorrow, what about today? Exactly the same. From day to day, from moment to moment. Only reality arises, appears, and disappears. No one can stop the way it is, arising and falling away.
Then how to explain the, for example, even in the stage of where we have different understanding, but in terms of concept, in terms of thinking, that I still see that generally there's agreement that, for example, going from the fan to the air conditioner, for example, is a progress, and people see that kind of like that is actually like an involvement of science into it. So
as long as citta keeps on arising and falling away, different moment, it experiences different object at a time. At moment of seeing, there are conditions for seeing to arise, so it sees, it experiences the visible object. But the other moment, the ear base and sound and hearing is conditioned to hear a sound, different object. Because there is not only eye, there's also ear, nose, tongue, and body sense. Conditions for what happens now. Seeing or hearing, smelling, tasting or touching.
So that explains about perceiving or receiving the world. But what about creating that things, like when people creating different stuff, for example?
What about seeing and then seeing, thinking, and then reaching out to get something? What's the difference?
Yes. Well, when it comes to the absolute sense, then it's not much, no different between these. But I guess my action of reaching
Excuse
out.
Excuse me, what do you mean by no difference?
No different between, when you said, like, what the difference between creating a stuff and the action of, like, reaching a cup, so that I think, in absolute sense, like, it's all citta and citta-sika. But I still guess, like, the action of creating a cup, for example, that might be more complicated.
Do you mean that it can be made up with your thinking?
No. So then can I say that?
Without seeing? Without hearing?
You cannot create anything. Nothing can be created. It's, even we think we can move something or we can hear or... for example, we came here to listen for the Dhamma and we think we can do this, but actually in reality we cannot, because there must be air and the sound and hearing consciousness to listen to Dhamma, for example, and many conditions. So it looks like we can change something or prompt, or I will listen to Dhamma, but there must be, it must be many conditions. But first, to listen to Dhamma is air. There must come an air, and the sound, and the hearing consciousness. For example, like seeing now, you can say, you can close your eyes and nothing appears. But that's also by conditions. And in reality, this is only eye and visible objects and seeing consciousness. So we learn that, not the stories.
And what condition the closing of the eyes?
Well, it's a different picture. It's like a different in your book. Picharya. Condition different condition. Yeah. Picharya.
Javana also.
Hi, I think your question is this, that everyone has the same idea about things. Is that right? Like, everyone agrees that this is a fan and this is an air conditioner, and that moving from one to another is progress. So I think you're asking about the phenomenon that different people have the same idea about these concepts, or have the same conceptual perception of the world.
That's a part of that, and also a part of like how science and what we call science now can be explained in terms of like without like just have a kind of, or maybe because I don't understand, so I think like, but just by reducing that to citta, citta-sika, and nama, or nama and rupa, it will explain the progress of what we call the conventional that we.
It is the eye that you can review through the citta, it's not you. Because you try to explain this, and you will review it until citta, that now the not citta that makes this. You have a condition to do this.
When you talk about science and so forth, and we talk about what we call progress. This is only thinking. It's an interpretation. We say, I can go from lighting a fire with sticks to lighting a fire with a cigarette lighter and call that progress. That's just thinking. And these concept objects that we have, like the sticks and the fire and this cigarette lighter or whatever it is, these are not real. Concepts are not real. We think they're real, and that's part of the problem we have. But they're not real. And the more understanding that can be developed, the more we can see they're not real, understand that they're not real.
Shall we now talk about one word at a time again, like titti? What is that? Pali word, titti. What is it? Is it a reality?
Because without this reality, we could not be taken into the whole world. We could not have wrong view without wrong view.
Just titi itself.
Titi is not, wrong view.
Not right or wrong yet, just titi.
Oh, view.
Yeah.
It's a view.
Is it at moment of having concept as object or what?
Any kind of object.
There can be moment of understanding or experiencing or have concept as object without wrong view. So it's different from wrong understanding, wrong view. Sam, do you like this?
What are you saying? Yes.
You like this?
Yeah.
Ditti or concept?
Concept. Mm-hmm. But the feeling is the reality.
Just to see the difference between concept and wrong understanding, wrong view or right view. Is this permanent? Again, is this permanent?
We can check.
Wrong or right view?
Yeah, but usually it's permanent.
When you think that it's permanent, it's not right. Yeah. But if it's just a cup or a glass, it's concept. Can you do anything? No wrong view. When there's understanding that I cannot do anything because there's no I, there are realities and conditions. And why do we have to understand realities as they are? Because there's latent tendency of wrong understanding, taking it for I, or something permanent.
The other day we talked about adisila, and you said that adisila is when there's panya. And I think you said this, it's not so necessary to worry about developing sila. That when understanding grows, then there's adisila, which is higher sila. But one of the condition, or maybe more than one, is the fact that there is former sila done, like that there is kusala, and there's kusala done in the past.
Do you mind about the story? Or the more there is understanding, everything develops. Instead of thinking yesterday or last year, last month?
Yes, I guess if sila, if panya is developing, then don't worry about what went back then.
Otherwise, one just want to know the words and the name, not realities. When there is no understanding of reality as it is right now, we think about sila, adisila, and so on, not understanding what appears now. And that moment of understanding it, we don't have to name it adisila, adicitta, and adipanya. They're all there at that very moment.
When I review my existence, I'd like to be a better person. So this is probably where that.
And that is not the understanding of reality as not self.
If I can go back to the conversation about wrong view. It's just struck me how much banya, or how that it takes banya to even know the difference between, I'm just thinking of a glass as a concept, and taking that glass as something that is permanent, that remains, you know, that exists, that continues on. And I, thinking and sanya make it difficult to know, because we're so used to thinking, oh, it's just a glass, and then right along with that thought, even if you don't consciously think it is, and it exists. So there's so much, and it's permanent, and it. So there's so much banya that is even needed to know the difference between moments of just thinking of something as a concept and thinking of it as something that is permanent.
You know what's there?
Pardon?
You know what is there?
Visible object.
Wanting to know.
Wanting to know, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's.
And forget about realities.
What do you mean by and forget about realities?
Think how to have more understanding.
Yeah, no, you can't think it through. Mm.
Just find a way.
Right.
With attachment.
Understanding will find a way.
Yeah, so even just one word like Dhamma or whatever is real, there can be more understanding at moment of seeing.
Yeah.
It's real, it's a reality, it's conditioned. Hearing, thinking, everything is conditioned. Just real for a moment when it's appear.
By forget about, by forgetting about reality, she meant that at the moment of wanting to know or attachment, at that moment there's forgetting, there's not understanding, there's ignorance of reality.
So banya is required to know.
Would you like to have more panya than now? Just understand what we are talking about and what reality is now.
Ajahn, I have a question about, we're talking about fans and air conditioners. I like air conditioners. Would the Buddha prefer an air conditioner over a fan? Would he?
At that time?
Yeah.
At that time? At his time?
Even that.
There weren't any air conditioners at the Buddha's time, so he wouldn't.
If you were sitting near him, he might.
I feel like we try to talk in absolute realities, but we live in the conventional world. And so did the Buddha.
Even at moment of thinking about fan or air conditioner, can panya know the true nature of moment of thinking as not self? Because after seeing, there must be thinking. So thinking can think of anything, but panya can understand that moment as not self. When it develops, it can know any moment. Like seeing and hearing now, seeing, they arise together. As panya arises, it knows exactly of the same object appear to sense door or mind door.
Now, this is basically just a question of definition, and it's one that Nina and I have spoken with about a number of times. And in Nina's book, she uses the word ear sense, eye sense, body sense, etc., to mean the base. I when I first saw that, I found it confusing because I couldn't. It confused me between the base and the state of cognizing an object. So I'm wondering which terms we should use. Should we use eye sense, ear sense, etc., as the base, or should we use that as something else, or should we use what are the terms, whatever?
What do you think? Because it's not my language at all. I cannot know better about words, whether which one is better. But the base is the rupa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the point.
Yeah, because when we use the word sense, it kind of brings to mind citta rather than a rupa.
Not to me.
Depends on the person. To me, also, it's okay. Sense.
Yeah,
or we could change everything to ear sense base, eye sense base. Everyone's happy.
As Nina said herself, the purpose is to have the beginning student understand the terminology of what we're talking about. And I know, to me, the first time I saw ear sense, to me, that sounded more like the jitta cognizing an object rather than the base.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Sorry.
But it is the eye sense, ear sense is the very common use of that for that particular rupa.
Oh, besides, in other places they use the same thing.
Yeah, eye sense, usually it's used.
It's very common.
It can be also in the element.
How about I sense
Chakra, Sattadhatu.
Yeah.
Sattadhatu.
Right, okay, Sattadhatu. But, see, now he's saying something else.
He's using Pali.
I know, he's using Pali.
Yeah, it's not the Pali, it's the rendering, the proper meaning, because you say, for example, air. Some people may think this is air. And the element sounds better.
Sure, for all of them we refer to them as elements. That's a given. But the idea of referring to the rupa base as a sense, to me it's confusing. It may not be confusing to other people. So
leave it as it is.
You only understand if there's right understanding.
That's true, but this, of course, we're talking at the Pariyatti level. So I don't mean to any disrespect to Nina, because there's nobody else like Nina around. It's absolutely wonderful. And if it weren't for Nina, and if it weren't for John and Sarah, I would have very little access to Dhamma. So this is just something to clarify, to make it clearer to the readers.
All these words is difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard to sometimes. Thinking down the road, too, for more sophisticated.
We're thinking down the road for more detailed explanations, too. Yes.
Yeah. And in Pali, it's Chakkhutthadhu. See? In terms of
elements.
Another
context.
There is also Chakku Prasada, which is what.
Chakku Prasada.
I was thinking of Prasada, but you can translate that into English.
It's
sense, right. Yeah. That's why I use sense, I sense.
Because we talk about the five senses. So.
Yeah, that was a clear, just at this one.
So the five senses, rupa or nama?
Rupa. So in that case, it would be clearer to talk about five sense bases.
So not so easy to understand,
like
one word.
It's too long.
I don't like it. Okay. I have to make a choice.
Yes.
What is the best?
So, in reality, what is I sense?
Chakku Dhatu, or Chakku Prasada.
Rupa.
Rupa,
yeah. The Rupa, which has the ability to receive sound, is ear sense. Etc. for the other senses.
Okay.